We just wrapped up a series, we're starting another series next week, so I just have a standalone message for you today. We're going to start an Easter series next week. I want to encourage you regarding Easter. There's a lot of people in the community that don't generally go to church, that's not really a part of their daily life, or maybe they don't understand the value of being a part of a community, or part of God's kingdom is that we operate together in community. It's a great opportunity to invite people to church. I want to encourage you, if you know somebody that doesn't attend church or is maybe considering doing something for Easter, we would love to host people for Easter. I know it looks full in here. We're going to add some more chairs and whatnot, but we are looking forward to hosting people for Easter. But we'll be having a series about Jesus and some of his statements. Jesus said a number of times, I am that I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He had some I am statements. Well, who did Jesus say that he was? And so we're going to take some weeks to explore that leading up to Easter. But today I want to visit with you about a particular subject I've been thinking about, and I want to start with a question. When I say the word obey, how does that make you feel? When I say things like obedience, obey, submit, how does that make you feel? Do you get excited about that? Different people, thank you. Thank you for being honest, Jonas. When I'm up here preaching, you can yell back at me, it's okay. You don't get to argue with me, but you can at least, you know, come on, an amen once in a while, or let me know you're awake. I appreciate that, it's encouraging, but thanks, Jonas. That's true. Oftentimes when I don't know about you, some people, I've visited with a few people this week asking that question. When I say obey, what do you think of? And it wasn't all negative, but I think that when we think of the word obey, images come to our mind like maybe a slave and his master. We obey our masters. I think oftentimes when we think of the word obey, we think of something where there has to be an oppressor and a victim. Because no one forces us to obey, right? We live in a culture, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, where we really value our autonomy, our independence. We do what we want. We do what is right in our own eyes. And when some sort of outside source, like the law of the land, like if you get pulled over for speeding, I wanted to pull somebody over for speeding this morning. I wish I had a little light I could just put on my car and harass people. Because I'm going like 55 and they're going like 85 down the freeway this morning. Sometimes we don't like the law. We don't like the things that we need to obey. Or we feel that they're opposed to us. What do you think of? I want to just go after that a little bit this morning and talk about what it means to obey God. What happens when we obey? How important is it that we obey? I feel like there's often, you know, in the church world, we're often coming up against this mentality that, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 6 in Sunday school. I don't do anything the rest of my life with that. I never revisit that. I don't go to church. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I got saved. I'm good to go. And I think we've maybe oversimplified it at times. God has called you to obey him. How does that sound? Well, I want to talk to you today, maybe reshape your thinking about how important it is to obey God, but also how valuable it is to you to obey God. Do you ever follow the instructions when you have to put something together? I mean, okay, let's take a quick survey. This will be not very scientific, but we'll find out. How many of you have a tendency to follow the instructions very closely? And how many of you wing it until you have to go back to the instructions? Yeah, you're my people. For some reason, I think I could do the instructions better than the guy who wrote the instructions. I don't know why. That rarely proves to be true, by the way. I'll figure it out. God wrote the instructions on life. He designed it. He knows everything about it. He knows way more than you know about it. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees all things. He knows all things. He's the source of all life. Why do I think I can get away without obeying him and think my life's going to go well? Isn't that funny how we just sort of naturally do that? We're actually pretty naturally rebellious. Did you know that? We are. I mean, our pastor Brian, before I started leading, he'd talk about kids lie before they could even talk. Like, you walk in a room and they know they're doing something they shouldn't, and they're like, nothing to see here. We're kind of rebellious. We naturally disobey. I want to begin in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. God has just given the law to the Israelites. So God, at this point in the story, he's made a promise to Abraham that he's going to bless the world through Abraham. But Abraham's children, his family, which becomes the nation of Israel, has just come out of slavery in Egypt, just like you and I come out of slavery in the world, slavery to sin. And God rescues us. He rescued his people. And then he gives them his law. He says, this is who I am. And then he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Picture that. I'm coming to you right now and I'm putting these two things before you, life and death. Blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. God gives mankind a choice. Now, that subject can get real complicated from there. But we know in a very basic way that God gives you and I the choice. And he challenges his children, choose life. You have the choice of life and death. You have the choice of blessing or cursing. And the world is under a curse. We see that in creation. Mankind rebelled against God. When Adam sinned, we all inherited sin because of that choice. And so God is saying, okay, I'm coming to you now, and I'm going to put this choice before you. Choose life. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, hanging on. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So when we start thinking about the idea of obeying God, he's likening the idea of obedience to blessing and disobedience to cursing. And we see that principle at work in the very first story in the Bible. To choose to obey God results in blessing in life. And to choose to disobey God is to submit yourself to some other power. See, when we choose not to honor God, what are we choosing? Something other than God. Anything other than God is sin. That's, by its definition, that's what sin is. It's not God. It's the things that are not God, not in alignment with his character and nature. It says here, he's the source of life. Anybody use some more life? You know what I mean? I mean, energy maybe, but like, there's so much evil and there's so much anger and there's so much just junk that's not life-giving in the world. I want more life. I want the things that relate to good life. God is the source of life. I want to choose to obey him. God's giving us that choice. One of the analogies that I think of, and it gets used in different contexts, but just picture, I mean, this would be kind of fun, but you ever go to the water park and there's like that spout that comes out and the water comes down out of the spout and there's no pipe attached to it because really the water's flowing back up the pipe in the middle? You ever see those at a water park? They kind of try and trick you like it's hanging out in midair. Imagine there were like a giant hose spigot right above me, like a Goliath-sized one, like 16-inch diameter. And you turn that thing on, and that water pours out right here. That's what the blessings of God are like. When we make a decision to obey God, we're making a decision to come under his way, to come under his spout, to operate with him pouring out upon us. And that's refreshing, that's good. That's life. But when I make a decision to disobey God or not follow his ways, I'm stepping out from under his blessing. I'm stepping out from under his ways. I'm stepping out from under that life. And I don't want to be out from under that. I want to bring myself into a position to be blessed. Would you like to be blessed? A few of you do. Don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want your life to be blessed? Don't you want your eternal future to be blessed? Yeah, this isn't, again, I think Anita said this a couple weeks ago. It's not prosperity gospel, like nothing will ever go wrong with your life. But when you are operating in God's way, man, you know you're in alignment with him. And that is the way to live. Stand under God's faucet. Make a decision to be blessed, to be refreshed, to know you're in the right place. If God wrote the instruction manual on life, then I want to know what it has to say. And I'm not talking just about the Bible, but the idea that God designed life. He designed you. Don't you ever sometimes wonder, like, why in the heck am I here? Why am I alive? Why am I still alive? Why? God knows. You're not going to find that answer anywhere else. You want to be who you were born to be? Bring yourself in alignment with God. You want to understand what life really is about? Bring yourself into alignment with God. Obey God. Know what he wants and step into that. Lean into it. And when you do, you're operating how you're supposed to. I've been working on my truck this week. And I have a 18-millimeter wrench that's about this long. Now, you know what a wrench is for, right? Guess what I was using it for? A hammer. Because I was under the truck and I couldn't reach the hammer, so I'm using this. God gives me weird illustrations at the weirdest times, right? So I'm stuck under the truck, covered in oil, using a wrench for a hammer. And guess what I realize? This is not what this was made for. It worked okay. How about you? What were you made for? I don't know. Am I a wrench or a hammer? Or a crescent wrench? Or a screwdriver? I hope you're catching my analogy. I'm not being literal. God made you with purpose. But we don't fully understand or operate it. I want to be used for what I was made to be used for. I want to be who I was born to be. God has a plan and a purpose. I want to obey him. I want to come into alignment with him. I want to operate in his blessings so I can fulfill what I was wired to do and be. Do you? Let's obey God. Let's do what he says. Let's operate in those blessings. Let's not keep trying to go our own way. I got a dog that just does not learn to stop pulling on the leash. Please don't come talk to me if you're a dog trainer afterwards. I'm not that worried about it. We have a little dog that seriously will choke itself to death on the end of the leash because it's pulling. That's what we do to God. I don't want to go your way. I want to go my way. And God's like, but this is the life I've designed for you. Here's the blessings I have for you. I made you to be my image bearer in my creation. You are a steward in my universe, and you're just trying to do your own thing. That's not going to work out. And it's not going to be fun. You need to obey God and come into alignment with him. When you obey God, you're setting yourself up to be who you were born to be and to reap the blessings of a life with him. Before sin came into the world, just picture this for a moment. We don't know a lot, but we can see in the book of Genesis that man was bearing God's image in the world. He's stewarding God's garden. It's like a paradise place. You and I, because of what Jesus did on the cross, are on our way back to that kind of a life. God is restoring his creation. He's calling his people to himself. He's making a way where there was no way. We were condemned, but now we're saved. Because of Jesus Christ. And earlier in Deuteronomy verse 9, halfway through, starts like this: For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. How hard is it to imagine that God delights in you? Can you imagine God taking delight in blessing you? How many of you are going to be honest with me and say, I kind of find that hard to imagine? It's hard to imagine sometimes when we're really, really reflecting on our brokenness. Now, hopefully you've gotten to a point where you understand that very clearly, but it can be very hard at times. Why would God take delight in me? Because I'm so broken and I'm a mess and I screw up all the time. But God wants to delight in you. That's his heart for you. I want to remind you yet again what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. When you obey, here we go. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers when you obey the voice of your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book of the law. When you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Deuteronomy verse 30. So God takes delight in blessing you, but here's another component I see about obedience. It takes heart and soul. It's all of you. Sometimes we can fake it, can't we? We can kind of look good on the outside. We can do some good deeds on the outside and some nice works. But really, God is going after the whole of who you are. Your obedience is more than just an outward thing. It's an inward thing. All of your heart and soul coming into submission to God. There's another word we don't like too much. Submission. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. I just want to comb through this passage a little bit. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Well, that's an amazing invitation. God puts before his people, isn't it? Come reason with me. Let's talk about this. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Praise God for you and I. They are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay, we're starting to get into some territory here where hopefully somewhere in your mind you're like, okay, what about grace? Where's grace in all this? I want to kind of detour for a little bit this morning. If only I had a roll of bright yellow tape again, wouldn't that be great? Would you throw me that tape? Now, I did an illustration with this once before, but this is a little different today. My daughter Joelle and I were having a conversation. She's back in nursery today, yesterday, but she was kind of talking through my message with me, and we're just talking about these different ideas of obedience. And we get into this place of going, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, where do I stand with God? Like, I want God to bless me. I want to obey God. But I don't even know if he's happy with me. That's not necessarily what Joelle was saying, but we're having that conversation that people can end up there. I want God to be okay with me. I want to be happy with me. And so I think it's really important as a part of our obedience to understand what obedience is and is not in this current life. So, you ready? Anybody need this for their kids? Yeah, you can come get a piece. I'll tape your mouth shut for you if you want. Okay. Now, when I did this before, I was talking about sin and crossing the line of sin. But today I want to talk about salvation. Maybe I'll use this stool as well. Chris, can I steal this? All right, thanks. Now, in life, this is before we met Jesus. This is before we surrendered our life to Jesus. We got to a point in our life where we said, Jesus, you are the king. You are the Lord of my life. We would say you got saved. And in reality, you're continuing to be saved. And our way down the road, when we have a new body and a new heaven and a new earth, that process will be complete. For now, we're now and not yet, right? But somewhere your life was over here. Maybe you got to this point of giving your life to Jesus when you were 5. Or maybe you haven't yet. But you have this period of time over here before you meet Jesus. And I want to talk about some of the thinking that people have about this. We're on this side of the line. We believe there's God. And we do this. I'm going to obey and do lots of good things over here, so eventually he has to let me through. Jesus is sitting right here. He's like the gatekeeper, right? And I'm going to obey, and I'm going to do lots of good works. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be a good person, and I'm going to give that homeless guy $5 on the corner and all that kind of stuff. And sooner or later, I'm going to compile enough obedience that God has to let me in. He's got to let me into eternal life. But the Bible doesn't teach us that. You can be on this side of Jesus. I hope you're understanding my analogy here. On this side of Jesus, you'll never be good enough. You could do all the things, but you were born in sin. You can't make that right with all the good deeds and all the obedience in the world. Now, I'm not encouraging, even if you're on this side of the line, I'm not encouraging you not to, but understand that that will not save you. It won't take you on into eternity with God. So you get to this point in your life where you go, I don't make a very good God, and I don't make a very good king. I'm going to go ahead and surrender right now and let Jesus be my Lord. I'm going to surrender. This is where faith, I have faith. And we step across that line, and here we are over here, saved. Oh, good. I'm forgiven. Now what? I would say now there's a lot of work to do. You can't work your way into heaven from this side. We call that works mentality. You can't be good enough for God over here. You've got to surrender your life to Jesus. What happened right here? The cross. What happened here? Jesus died. Where you should have been, he took your place. And so when you get over here and you're obeying God and all those kind of things, understand that none of those things is earning you a relationship with God. We do this because we love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I think that's one of my verses in here. If you love me, you will obey my commands. We were talking about this yesterday. I said, does it sound like this? If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Is that what you hear when you read that? It's not what I hear. I hear, if you love me, then a natural result of that will be you obeying my commands. You will understand that my way is a good way, that my way is the right way, that my way leads to blessing. So when you're over here, I think part of the thing we were talking about as well, Joel and I yesterday, is like, I want, you know, it's kind of a funny way to say it, but I want God to be proud of me. I want him as my father to look at me and go, gosh, I'm so pleased with you. And so, but then the problem is we're on to work really, 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 really hard, so he's really happy. But then you stop and think about it, like, my kids screw up once in a while. Do I love them less? No. Do I want to smack them upside the head once in a while? Yeah. And does God do that to us once in a while? Yes. But it's not like he's a finicky God up there going, I'm unhappy with you now, I'm happy with you now. Some people live like this. They wake up every morning on this side of the line, and then they do this all day long. I'm saved, now I'm not saved. And I'm saved, I'm not saved. God's not happy with me, now he's happy with me. Happy, not happy. Happy, not happy. Every half hour it changes. That's not a healthy understanding of who God is. You've crossed that line. That work is finished. And so the work we do here, the obedience we do here, is an entirely different thing. And then someday, when we get to the end of our lives, we face an evaluation. Don't say the J word. Judgment. We stand before God and we give evaluation. And we're afraid, so we work really, really hard so that when I get there, he'll be okay with me. And I want to say, it's already done. Your judgment is finished. In a sense, you get to God someday in judgment and like, okay, I did this. And the issue is that your judgment took place 2,000 years ago on a cross. Jesus took your place. He paid your price. You understand? If you really let that soak in, that changes the way you think about obedience today. I'm not earning some additional value with God. I'm already got, my salvation is secure. I'm obeying because I want to walk in his ways. I understand that there's blessing in his ways. I understand that if I go my own way, I'm setting myself up for some pain. But if I obey him, I come under that spout. Such an important thing to remember. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I think sometimes too, okay, you got some people on this side that are just really trying to earn the right to go to heaven by good works and obedience. You got some people that are so fearful, not completely understanding their salvation, so they go back and forth. Then sometimes we get on this side of the line and we're like, we really need to be focusing on God and his kingdom and being in alignment with where he's headed, but we wander off into other things. We get distracted. Things that aren't important. Well, I arrived. I'm good to go. Well, you might be. That's no way to live life. Let's live life to the fullest. You want to live it to the fullest? How many of you are interested in living a mediocre life? Yesterday, I went to visit my grandfather. He's going to pass away any minute. And I was just thinking about his life and all the things that he did. And life is precious. I don't want to live a mediocre life. I just got by. I want to stretch myself a little bit. I want to push myself a little bit. I want to obey God. I want to pay attention. What does it say? Obey his voice. I want to be, God, how are you steering me? How do you want me to handle this situation or that situation? Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You don't get to just say, all right, you're Lord. Now I'm going to go be my Lord for the rest of my life. It doesn't work that way. There's no way to live. If he's really Lord, then he's a priority. Got to make him a priority. Culture plays an important role. I read an article from a psychologist at Oxford. I forgot to put her name in here, but one of the paragraphs she wrote, she said, culture plays an important role in shaping an individual's beliefs, values, and behaviors. This can affect how likely someone is to conform or obey authority figures. For example, collectivist cultures such as Japan and China place a greater emphasis on group harmony and obedience to authority, which can lead to higher levels of conformity and obedience. In contrast, individualistic cultures such as the United States and Western Europe place more value on personal autonomy and independence, which can lead to lower levels of conformity and obedience. You know, we have to ask ourselves, how do we think about obeying God? Are we really independent and autonomous? Are we really our own God? Are we really the standard bearers of truth and goodness and righteousness? Is my opinion the most important thing? Is my right to have an opinion the most important thing? So do we then transfer that kind of thinking towards God? Does that affect that? I mean, how arrogant would that be to say, God, that's a good idea, but I think I'm going to do this. Do we really trust him as the one who designed life? He wrote the instruction manual. He gave us the directions. He's the source of our direction. How arrogant for us to think that we can go our own way and not obey. It's very, very important that we consider our thoughts about obeying God. Is there something in your life that God is calling you to obey? Is there something that you've been walking in disobedience for a long or a short amount of time and he's kind of got his finger on it in your life? You say, what about grace? Grace is not there so you can be intentionally disobedient. Grace actually enables you to even be more obedient. It's not there so you can just do whatever you want. That's not what grace is. If someone ransomed me and rescued me, I would be indebted to them. I would have a sense of appreciation for that. And the fact that God has done that for us, we also then, I think, need to consider, God, thank you. I will follow you. You are worthy of praise. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so because of Adam the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Your obedience won't make you more righteous. It's not possible. Jesus made you righteous. here at the cross. Through that one man, he's our representative. If you're on this side of the line this morning, if you never actually surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you did a long, long time ago, I would encourage you to make that choice today, to worship him, to make him the Lord. You don't make a very good God, sorry. You don't make a very good king over your own life. Let him be the king. Let Jesus be your righteousness. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to obey X amount of rules in order to get it. You receive it, and his grace and his mercy comes, and you step across that line into eternal life, into eternity with God. And then you start taking steps where his grace and his spirit are with you, and you learn more about obedience, and you move more and more into blessing. And someday you will leave this world, and he'll say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," if that's the case. And you'll go on into eternity with him, and you'll also leave a legacy. I'm so grateful that my parents took the steps they took in faith. And I hope that someday my children will look at my life and say, "I'm so glad that Dad took the steps he took, that we could be further ahead, that we had that foundation in our lives." I want to encourage you today, the rest of your life, serving God, there's just no better way. If you've never given your life to Jesus this morning, this is what I would ask you to do. Come talk to me. Or visit with the person you came with that's a believer and say, "Pray with me. I want to do this. I want to make Jesus the boss of my life. I want to get under that spout of his way, his blessing. I want to be in alignment with him. I want to know what I was made for. I don't want to just keep making up the rules as I go. I want to be with Jesus." But for the rest of you, just ponder this message today. As you leave here today, consider, what is God challenging me to obey? What does he put in front of me that he wants me to do next? Consider that. Would you stand, please? We'll pray and conclude this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit that is with us this morning. God, I pray that you would be bringing grace and revelation to every heart and every mind in this place. God, that whatever you're speaking, however you're calling people to you, whether it's to lay down some addiction and to obey you, whether it means to embrace forgiveness for someone. I was reminded this week, as I saw on Facebook, which who knows if it's true, but supposedly, Corrie Ten Boom said, "Forgiveness is releasing a prisoner and finding out that prisoner was you." Lord, I pray for those that you're calling to obey you by forgiving someone, by laying down an offense, by humbling ourselves about an issue or situation. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that hasn't really surrendered to you, I pray you'd let them know that right now. And that you would prompt them to take action, to speak with someone that can pray with them, encourage them, show them what a life of being forgiven feels like. It's freedom. It's freedom. And God, we just worship you this morning. You're worthy of praise and honor. There's no one like you. You're the King of all kings. You're over all things. You see the beginning from the end. You made a way for me and for everyone in here to spend eternity with you, really living out why we were ever made in the first place. Being reflectors of you, imagers, worshipers of you, living a full life. So we honor you and we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your week.